Egypt's foremost political satirist, Bassem Youssef. Obviously, right now, the Middle East spiraling out of control. So tell me, what should America do about this?
How about nothing? America is like a dog with a hot spot on its butt, called the Middle East. And you think you have to keep licking it, but you're just making it worse.
Testing, testings, balls, 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 testicles.
Penis, vagina.
Penis and vagina. Who says that?
I don't know.
Kid. Hello? Well, that sounds good. That's good.
All right.
So let's back up.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Well, so much has happened since I met you.
And I said the precipice.
Yes, you did.
Do you know what that word means now?
Yeah.
Did
you
look it up in the dictionary?
Yeah. And I don't even remember what it means. So I went back to Dubai. Mm-hmm. And I made the decision that maybe this is not the best place for me.
Shocking.
I'm a big celebrity in the Middle East. People invite me. People want to be with me. I wasn't developing as a person.
Yeah.
And so I needed to make a decision. I just needed to move on and just take the risk and just like make that leap of faith and make it across the pond.
Oh, I've heard of the pond. Okay.
Yes.
So walk me through what you're the most nervous about.
Well, now I have this show that I'm doing with Fusion Network. And it's quite weird because I'm an Egyptian, a Middle Eastern, and I'm hosting an American show directed to American audience in English. And it's about American politics. So there's so many variables there that can go wrong.
Well, because you don't have the authority to...
I don't have that. I mean, an outsider, who the fuck are you to speak about our politics? And plus, would I be funny? Would people find me funny? Would people accept me? I mean, it's weird. And the thing is, this is not like a major network. It's not like a huge budget that like we can do whatever. I mean, we're doing this with very limited resources. And I'm really scared that this will suck. I mean, I love the premise. I love the idea.
Sorry, tell me the premise.
So here's the premise of the show. It's called the Democracy Handbook, which basically me, a Middle Eastern, after everything failed in the Middle East, and
fail.
I mean, like, you know, the Arab Spring was like a fuck up, you know, and like I now want to bring democracy to my people. So where's the best place to look for democracy? America. And then I go there and I find democracy, and it's perfect, unless it's not, because we now like we discuss stuff that's supposed to be democratic and secular, but it's not really either democratic or secular. So we talk about religion and immigration and guns and all of that stuff. And we try to, like, you know, turn things on its head.
Do you think that things are getting better or getting worse?
No, there's openings. I mean, it's not getting worse, but I'm right now on hold. I'm waiting to see what happens, because this is going to be my first debut, and it would really be so bad if I sucked or flopped. I don't want this to be a flop.
But then wouldn't you just try again in a different format? That makes
well,
sense.
Yeah, but like I don't know if people will give me the chance to try again.
You're not a quitter.
I cannot be a quitter, but I need this to work.
Okay, well, since you're going to be doing a show about politics, what do you think about American politics? Like, what do you think is going to happen? What would you like to happen?
Well, here's the thing. With American politics, I mean, yeah, we can joke all what we want, but, like, you still have a better democracy than the Middle East.
The barometer's low.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, what I'm aiming is, like, yes, we have a really good democracy, but this is kind of a warning that, you know, things might be not moving in the right direction because... For example, this is a secular country, but now all of
this
stuff,
it's
supposed to be in the constitution, it's supposed to be a secular country.
So what, since when does the constitution mean?
Exactly. So like, what's the value of the constitution?
Zero.
Exactly. So
people being detained without their rights all over the world, massive execution.
We remind people of that. We remind people that like there are other parts in the world that like used religion, and it's... You look to what they, the way what they are now, and don't you do that? It's a warning, people. I mean, for example, people would not 20 years ago, people never thought that someone like Donald Trump would be a
Can you imagine?
Yeah, but like, it did not happen overnight.
No, but tell me how that happened, actually.
Yeah, look.
What the hell is happening?
Yeah, well, it's...
Explain it to me, because I don't get it.
Because
I don't understand.
It's the narrative of the Christian right. You start with Reagan, you go to Bush, to Sarah Palin, to the Tea Party, and it's only illogical to end up with Donald Trump.
No, nothing makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. If you start to go more conservative and more, like, you know...
But he is not conservative.
It doesn't matter. It's conservative. I'm talking about, like, the speech of hate and incitement of hate, the speech of, like, xenophobia, of hate. This has been the right-wing narrative, and it's getting worse.
Do you think that he is just making all this up
It doesn't matter. He's giving... I mean, I'm not worried about Donald Trump. I'm worried about the support that he's getting. He is now empowering so many people. It's like, I'm not the only one who's thinking these crazy, racist, bigoted thoughts. He is actually empowering so many people to come out and say that.
I don't get it. Yeah. It seems like a joke. It was like when Sarah Palin was running... I was like, this is actually a joke. Like, this is a joke. You know, like, the thing is, this is just for comedy writers to have a field day. Like, How is it possible that this is actually happening?
Well,
this gun-toting redneck,
Hey, a few weeks ago, you had Carson was the front runner. Ugh. This is crazy. This has
to stop. That guy looks like he's on so much weed or paint. Like, I don't know.
What's happening?
You know, even though I understand that democracy can have many shades of evil, the particular blend right now is making me so miserable. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to go or what to say or how to... I don't get it. What is happening? Will you explain it to me as an outsider? Because I don't understand what's happening in my country.
Again, you know, it's just like, it's the narrative that people now are becoming more extreme. So it's not enough to be a right wing. I'm going to be an extreme right wing. I need to upstage you.
I need 2 shotguns.
Yeah.
I need 4. I need a sawed off.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, the easiest way to sell an ideology that doesn't really make sense is to talk to people through fear and suspicion. So if people are afraid, they are willing to give up their rights. They are willing. Yeah. Because, I mean, look to George W. Bush. I mean,
he was amazing.
The Patriot Act, being involved into wars, like agreeing for torture. People were afraid, so they gave in to all of that. And it's not new. This is like straight from the textbook of dictatorship that's been going on for the past few centuries. Like Hitler did it, Mussolini did it.
Where did it start to go wrong? Because I think it was after like the second Roosevelt it went wrong. Like, when did everything turn to shit?
It went wrong.
Yeah.
When... In the 1970s, when the Republican Party found that it's the minority party, and because they were like beaten in every single election.
Who was running at the time?
No, I'm not talking about presidents as much. I was talking about the Senate and the Congress.
Okay.
So they changed their strategy. They tapped in to like a pool of votes that nobody, like a pool of voters that nobody actually were paying attention to, the Christian Protestant of the Bible Belt. These people were not voting because they thought that...
Jesus picks our new president.
No. As a matter of fact, this is where, in 1970, this is where the Republican Party switched from being fiscally conservative into socially conservative and religiously conservative. And this is why Reagan came.
But they didn't switch. They just added these conservatives. They just added more.
Yeah, but they added more, but like... By time, they took over the Republican Party.
It's really amazing what happened. I just find it really confusing because I assume wrongfully that people are basically good and are able to think with their hearts and listen and learn. But I must be wrong because things could not be going this way if that was actually true.
I don't know. It's a very...
I'm getting really fucking depressed about it. I want to go. I don't know if I can be in America first, but I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I'm serious.
So where you want to go? To Sweden?
Fucking go to... No. I'll go to, like, at least if I'm going to be in a place that's not working well, I'll go to Spain, where everything's just fucked up and it's fun. Anyway, that's not the point. We sidetracked. Mm. So what do Americans who are feeling really disillusioned... Is there a way to contribute or stand up for the things that we believe in? Are there places to go that it matters?
They always say, like, you know, the way to face bad speech is more speech. And people who are delusional, people who have like their wrong ideas, in, at least like according to us, will continue to have them. I mean, do you think that like if you actually stated like put it out for them, they're gonna change their mind? Humans have this amazing mechanism. It's called denial. They're gonna deny the facts. They're gonna.
It's not just a river in Egypt.
Oh yeah.
I just made a really bad Egypt joke.
Yeah, no.
You didn't even.
It's very old.
Come on. Yeah,
everybody knows the joke. Anyway, so, so it is like people will use denial in order to protect their beliefs, no matter how ridiculous it is. So, for example, they would deny certain facts about like religion to continue believe in that. Or they're going to deny certain facts about like how their politics sucks in order to.
Okay, but what do we believing. Do? How do we?
Listen, the world is already has been already fucked for centuries. You're not gonna fix anything. It's gonna be a struggle. It's the struggle is gonna be at the end of times.
Okay, fine. So it's all Murphy's law. We're all moving. We're all expanding at a rate of complete destruction. Everything's falling apart all the time.
Do you think you
so
are?
Give up?
You're, do you think you're like in any war state when like the whole world was like fighting each other like two world wars like a century ago? I mean, they're there.
Okay, so we're so it's not shit. Nuclear war.
No. Shit happens all the time. And it's going to continue to happen. If you think that like, oh, it's going to be, it's not an end game. It's not a video game or like, and here's the last
level. I'm not asking for an end game. I'm asking how do I live a life where I feel like I am being authentic and giving back in a way and helping to change in small ways so that I can feel, even if it's meaningless,
You keep speaking to people. You keep talking to people. And you know, people who listen would listen. People who
just
not listen.
You know what I'm doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You have no answers.
Yeah, well, you're asking for.
I was looking for answers. You're just you're like the Oz. You're like behind. You're like a little man behind a big fake. Screen. Like.
I am not the Oracle.
You're not on Mount Olympus. Fuck. All right, great. So you have no answers. You just so all you want to do is point out the problems and then offer no solutions.
Well, that's part of the solution. I mean, if you try to point out I'm going to talk about me as a satirist. I don't have a solution for everything. What I do. Is that I hope that my art and my satire, my comedy will bring people to the table and discuss it. Now it's up to the people to change it. I cannot change it.
I know. I guess I'm just struggling with, I feel like I could affect change if I was really smart. If I could come up with not in a way that's like so monumentous, but like, I just don't know what to do with my little tiny microphone. Maybe you have the same thought. I don't know.
It's a voice. I mean, hey, I had bigger than microphone. I didn't.
I knew you were going to say something.
I had bigger microphone, and it really didn't make a huge difference.
Come on.
I mean, it made some difference, but like, but things still sucked. It's fine. I mean, John Stewart has a huge microphone, right? Did he
it
really?
Okay, but so for your daughter, right?
Yeah.
What do you, becoming a parent? I imagine you see the world in a different way. That you want to. Help make it the best kind of future for her and her friends and the upcoming generation. So do we just keep putting band-aids and hope for the best?
You give her what she needs to face the world. And you tell her, you make her into an independent person who would face the same kind of shit that we are facing. And we hope that she will be strong facing them. It's a struggle. I mean, your parents struggle, my parents struggle, our ancestors struggle, our sons and daughters and grandchildren will struggle. It's part of living.
I get it, but one of the main reasons why I don't think I want to have children.
Do you think like you're gonna make everything dandy and nice so your children will come? Gonna work like this.
No, I never do. I think that, but I think one of the main reasons I don't want to have kids is because I don't know if I want to put another life form into the upcoming planet.
Well, it's a valid thought.
Like, how do you tell your child? How do you have how do you take away that child, that beautiful curiosity and wonder and life and energy the kids have, and be honest with them? You know, I don't know how you do that. Anyway, back to you. So, it's all happening. Like I said, so admit I was right.
You're right.
What was I right about?
You're right about things would turn around. But it didn't turn around yet. Now I have an opportunity.
No. And?
What?
that you would do great.
I didn't do great yet. When I do
you
great...
You were great at the Emmys.
Well, that's the Emmys, but that's an event. Yes,
you know,
good.
Fuck you, that's the Emmys. How obnoxious are you? I mean, like, oh, it's just the Emmys. Yeah,
but
like,
it's an event. You need to have a process continuing, not just like...
Fuck yourself. It's huge. It's huge. All of these...
Can you be nicer to me?
No.
Yeah, all right.
No. I mean, like, because I want you to fucking... marinate in it. It's so fucking awesome.
Well, I was marinated in it for a week.
Okay. And now you're back to worrying.
Yeah.
Pacing back and forth.
Exactly.
All right. So there's no solutions. You're going to have a TV show. What's your message? Do you have a message? Are you trying to... What is it?
Well, I have a couple of messages. It's a message back home that's like, you know what? Fuck you. You actually took away everything, but like I'm making it away from you. That's one message. So that's a personal message. And the other message is that I'm telling the people, hey, like, you might have a better democracy, but you're not really far away from a fucked up country if you continue that way, if you continue on that path. Yeah.
That's two.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Do you think it is helpful to just be critical?
Yes, it is.
Just be critical?
Yes, it's fine. It is helpful.
Because it inspires solutions because people
it is fine. It's fine. Even if you're just like a critical voice that like you don't like anything, it's fine. Somebody would listen and somebody would really like mend some of the stuff, not all of the stuff, but it's fine.
If there are kids back in the places that you come from, the places that you were speaking to, and you know, many different countries across the Middle East, who are really struggling and looking for a way to like be themselves in a place that puts prisons around them. How would you tell kids to like? Is there any hope? Like, are there any messages we can give them?
I mean, it's not really going well back there. I mean, there's so many people who are being like unjustly like incarcerated, and it's not a happy place. And I worry about people there.
Ugh. Just no solutions.
It doesn't have to be a solution. It's a struggle.
I mean, do you have friends who are like
I have a couple of friends, acquaintances, not friends, who've been like. I have friends. No. I have friends. I have friends who had either been like detained or had to leave the country.
How the hell did you get out of there in one piece?
I came out. I went out on time. I mean, I left on time.
I mean. You are one lucky little boy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a little lamb's tail in your pocket or something. What are the lucky rabbit foot?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they didn't make a example of you. You'd be great. I mean, it would have been perfect, right? I mean,
yeah, that'd be perfect.
And like hung, you know, tarred and feathered you, hung you out to dry. I mean, why? What stopped? I wonder what stopped them.
I mean,
because you did it for a while.
Yeah, but like they...
You put your middle finger towards them for a
but
while.
But yeah, they stopped my show and said they thought that this was enough, but I was still vocal outside of the country. So now they said like, all right, it's time for him. It's time... That verdict that was against me, you know, that was the beginning of it.
What were you formally charged with?
I was not charged with anything like related to the government. You see, the government will not get you because you spoke your mind or because of freedom of speech. They'll get you because of taxes... breach of contract.
Taxes?
So yeah, no, it was not taxes. So it's the network that actually banned my show. We went into an arbitration case against each other, and they won.
You went to court with them?
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, because
you've got some fucking balls, man.
No, because they stopped my show. So in order to continue on another network, I had to take them to court. So
Did you think you were gonna get away with this?
Well,
what are you smoking?
They had no case.
You are in a country where...
Exactly.
What were you thinking?
We, at that time, that's like 2 years ago, we thought that, maybe we have a chance. But that happened that they were given a verdict against me with £100 million.
Pounds?
Yeah, it was like $50 million at that time. And they know that I don't have the money. And I knew that they did that so they can prevent me from traveling or put me in jail. So the verdict came out at noon. At 5 o'clock, I was in the first plane leaving the country.
I can't believe they didn't put you on a no-fly list.
They didn't have time. I think, like, if I was delayed a day, they would have done it.
Clever little bugger.
Yeah.
So now what? You like living here? It's not so bad. You're living in like beautiful California. Are we happy?
I am happy.
Okay.
I'm hopeful.
Okay.
I'm a little bit cynical. I'm a little bit afraid, but this is all part of the job. It's all part of it, you know? And this is what actually keeps you moving. And you can't just like me, ah, everything is fine.
Struggle makes it real, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're what are we looking forward to seeing from you? A TV show
An
and
internet
a doc
show.
and a documentary.
And a documentary.
The internet show is gonna be like 5 minutes, like short.
5 minutes, 10 episodes, yes.
Just 5 minutes?
Yeah. It's the age of the internet, baby.
You're such an old man. The way you said that, like just like it's
Yeah.
the age of the internet, is it?
Yeah.
I bet your email account still has like Yahoo or Hotmail attached to it. Like a
Yes.
dinosaur.
Yeah, my email is on Yahoo. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
All right. So I guess like the next time we'll meet is gonna be like after my show.
what month is it?
We're in February. Like we're gonna shoot in February. We're gonna edit in March, and we're gonna put it up on the internet in April. So
And
it's.
then what happens? And then everybody falls in love with you and you become a millionaire and now you change the world?
No, I get another deal. I get another show. Hopefully.
And you keep hustling.
Yeah.
You're like a shark. Gotta keep swimming or you
Yep.
die.
Yep.
Dr. Bassem Youssef, it's just a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
I have one last question.
Yep.
What's it like holding someone's heart in your hands?
Very slimy.
Tomorrow, all the things were gone.
The least romantic answer
Exactly.
ever.
Exactly.
To start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Thank you, as always, to the one and only Dr. Bassem Youssef. We will continue our odyssey down the rabbit hole of his burgeoning career now in the US. I want to thank him for his time and, as always, his heart and his humor. It was really wonderful to see you again. You can follow him at Dr. Bassem Youssef. That's DrBassemYousseff. Hard for us Americans. So what else? As always, you can follow me on my Twitter, which is at Genuinely False. I do live Periscope video recordings from there. You can also join my Instagram at Dr. Z Nightingale. Please leave me a review on my iTunes. Any star will do, any review will do. And a quick word from our sponsor, Adam and Eve Toys. If you put Zoe into the discount checkout box anytime you buy one of their online sex products, you'll receive not one, not two, but 10 free gifts. Now, these are all over the place on the sexual spectrum, everyone, but I'd highly recommend that you take advantage of this promotion. I did it. It's super exciting. Have fun, have sex, be safe, cause trouble, cause chaos, be debaucherous, be delicious.
There ain't no